Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. My responses cover subjects of general interest, such as human relationships, career, and morality, but not current politics. For the present, my answers are posted every other week on Mondays, and Dr. Yaron Brook answers questions on current events on the alternate Mondays. You can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes on my website. Several years of podcasts are now easily searchable by topic or keywords. If you have a philosophical question to ask, simply go to www.peikoff.com, and that's spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F, like the word off at the end, peikoff.com. And of course, feel free to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. What have you changed your mind about recently? Now, I assume this person wants me to give some kind of philosophic answer and show, therefore, that I'm not a dogmatist and I'm not a blind follower of Ayn Rand, etc., etc. Maybe I'm wrong, but if that's the motive, you'll be disappointed to find that I'm still just as blind, narrow-minded, one-sided, authoritarian, whatever word you want. The older I get and the more I know, the more I'm in agreement with her. I haven't had an eye-opening experience of, oh my God, A isn't A. So if that's what you're looking for, I have to disappoint you, or else you have to think I'm lying. But I have changed my mind on a number of much lesser things, non-philosophical things. I'll give you a quick example. I think that the worst lie, you know what they call the big lie that the Nazis invented? The biggest of all big lies, in my opinion, is the person who coined the term golden ages, with the implication that when you get old, that's the highest you get, wonderful experience. I've commented on that before, but that anybody could get away with a lie like that should be like the black agers, or that'll be taken as racist, I don't know, the dirt agers, whatever, something really bad as an adjective. Another thing that I've changed, I used to have some respect for doctors or supposed scientists, university panels, etc., who came out with dietary recommendations. Not much fat or no fat, and this kind of fat and this kind of bacon will kill you, bacon is required, coffee, etc., etc. I have seen such a kaleidoscope of contradictory information from alleged experts with super credentials that I throw out the whole entire field. I don't pay any attention to how much buttercream I'm allowed or how much anything, because I can show you visual evidence of all of these big scientists. One says the whole trouble with the United States and the cholesterol problem is we don't have enough cholesterol. And then he goes to all his studies and so on. And the other one says the problem with the diet is not enough salt. You can find everything. There's a book on now that if you don't eat a lot of fat, you're really in trouble. People who cut fat out. So they don't, my conclusion is they're like in the position with nutrition, like philosophy was before Thales. They don't know, they got some observations here and there, but they can't put it into any kind of reasonable integrated system. So I just ignore it all. I don't eat poison, but I don't need the Department of Agriculture to tell me that. And maybe the last positive thing is, for many years, I had close friendships that didn't last. It was some kind of philosophical explosion, or else most of them faded away from time and distance. But now I have found, within the last 5-6 years, friends that have what I would have thought at the beginning of my life was a normal, long-standing friendship, no explosions, no fading away. So I would say my new idea is friends can last, but you have to get the right kind of friends, and that I have always found very hard. You have to be able to judge people to do that, and I have certain skills, but I don't have much of that one. Now, I got a number of questions, maybe not the rest of this, but I'm going to get to it. And I'm taping all this, for the record, on August 20th, but you probably won't hear some of it till September, October. But number of questions on loneliness. Due to the sort of work I do, this is the question, I have to interact with irrational people every day. A friend of mine recognizes this problem and told me that she handled irrational people by firing clever insults at them. And at least in this way, she is able to make her thoughts known to these people. She recognizes that it's no good trying to reason with them because they don't listen to reason. What do you think of this sort of approach? Why does she want to make her thoughts known to these people? Is she responsible for their behavior? She wants to make them squirm? Does something practical hinge on this? If so, can she speak to a superior and say, they have to learn this and they won't listen to me? I can't imagine why she wants to make her thoughts known to people who are avowedly irrationalists and don't care whether what they say makes sense or not. The premise is this: reason doesn't work with these people, but malice, if it's witty enough, might. And I have to say that is the best adjective I can give you, is senseless. Now, I want to read you the following, because I had a fairly pessimistic view of the American public in DIM, my book, The DIM Hypothesis. And some people said, oh, you're really exaggerating. Well, of course, my book came out before the second election of Obama. And if I had known that, I would have been more negative still. But I just got some figures from a book, American Apocalypse, by Matthew Avery Sutton. I haven't read the book, but this is quoted in the Wall Street Journal. It's coming from the book. It's a survey sponsored by the National Geographic Channel. 80 million Americans believe in UFOs. 77% of the population thinks that aliens have visited the planet. A Gallup poll from 2005 indicated that over 20% of Americans believe in witches, and approximately 25% agree with the statement that the position of stars and planets influence our lives. And the Pew Research Center rounded out the picture in 2009, finding that close to 30% of Americans claim to have had contact with the dead. Now, I'm not saying that's the only. There are all kinds of better people. I'm just saying, if someone is discussing the American sense of life, it's a relevant fact that 30% or 25% believe a medieval idea such as this. It doesn't mean it's hopeless, because Jerome would kill me if I come across with that idea. But it does mean there are some very bad things, very, very widespread. And that has to be taken into account. You don't need as many good ones to counter the many bad ones, but you have to know that there's a lot of bad ones. Now, I venture to say, if you gave the 30% that are in contact with the dead, or witches, or whatever it is, Hadley shrugged and they agreed to read it, how many of that 30% do you think would say, oh, I was wrong, now I believe in John Galt? I mean, it's got to be a small, small percentage. Again, that doesn't mean the battle is hopeless. But it does mean you can't go around as Pollyanna and say, oh, America's sense of life, and this is still the greatest country, and only a few weirdos are in our way. And now here's a difficult practical question. I've been married for 11 years and have two young children, 9 and 7. My wife has become increasingly troubled and irrational in recent years, and I don't expect her to improve. A divorce, however, would be traumatic and destructive for the children, because in our state, she would gain control of them, and I would be much less able to protect him if I were absent. Is divorce the right choice anyway? And he goes on to imply, I believe, that he knows someone, a woman, but if he's divorced, that gives him a certain freedom that it doesn't if he stays in the family. I would see, I don't know the state, and I'm not a lawyer, but I would try and get a high-powered attorney to see, in domestic law, if there's a way to split control so that it's not either all her or all you, but you each have, say, 50%. I know of cases such as that. I lived a life like that. And the child retains the influence that you want to put forth, and either parent can control to that extent. So you can watch out for your kids in the time you have and arm them for whatever they need to know, and at the same time have the freedom of being divorced and go on with your own life. Now, if your courts absolutely won't grant that, then I think you should still divorce, but hold out for generous visitation. So much so that even if she retains the legal control, you can see them either at will or with only a few days' notice or at least one third of the time, something that gives you a substantial. And sometimes, as far as I know, I'm not an attorney, where the woman gets the priority, you can get more than the normal, you know, every other Wednesday. I would do one other thing. This will seem to people ungentlemanly, and it is, but if we take the situation as presented here, and it's two young kids subjected to troubled, irrational, and the implication is she's going to not improve, I would get an attorney and take the case to the court that she's not a fit mother and tell everything that you can prove to show whether she had this drink or she broke this glass or she hit this kid, whatever. I would make a case of war against her. I'm sorry to say, but that I would strongly feel that because I'm assuming what you said is right. Now, if she says, I'm okay, but he's the one that's troubled and irrational, then I don't know because I don't know the people. But taking the thing as it is, I would do everything I can, once there's no other way of getting them, to see if you can devalue her in the eyes of the court to the point that you get a much better degree of control. Now, however, if all of these fail, again, the only thing I can recommend is you stay at home and have your own sexual romantic life outside of the home. Even though you're not legally divorced, you're in effect finished with her. The law is holding you trapped, and you have every right to go on. I would certainly tell her, you know, and maybe that'll flip her over the edge in a way that you can use legally. But I don't think you have to give her the prerogatives of marriage once she's in the state that she's in. Now, you know, I have to take your word as they are. They say she's become increasingly troubled, and if that had manifested itself because she has headaches at 3 in the afternoon and you don't want to give her aspirin, then everything I said is out. I mean, you know, troubled and irrational in ways that harm the children. Not necessarily harm in the sense of beat them, but harm in the sense of withholding from them care or knowledge or behaving unintelligibly to them, and that still qualifies as harm. So I'm sorry to recommend a war against your wife or else a life of cheating. It wouldn't be cheating because you're telling her the truth, but I don't see any other solution, and that's what I would do in that situation. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peekoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most important novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I might add that it wouldn't hurt you to read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis.